Our gospel lesson text this morning is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We'll look at the first 12 verses of chapter 30. This is where we left off last week, with ending with chapter 29. So we go on forward, learning more of Hezekiah and what he is doing to restore worship and right relationship with God in his kingdom. That's found on page 327 if you're using the Bibles that are in your seats. I'll give you another moment to find that. This is God's Word, eternally true. 2 Chronicles 30, verses 1 through 12. Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. The king and his officials and the whole assembly in Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. They had not been able to celebrate it at the regular time because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem. The plan seemed right both to the king and to the whole assembly. They decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, calling the people to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. It had not been celebrated in large numbers, according to what was written. At the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and from his officials, which read, "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror, as you see. Do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God, so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him." The couriers went from town to town in Ephraim and Manasseh, as far as Zebulun, but the people scorned and ridiculed them. Nevertheless, some men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord. Here ends our gospel lesson text for this morning. Let us give thanks to the Lord for giving us this, his word, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you have given us Jesus as King, and Jesus, that you have invited us to your gospel. And you have caused us to come. You've brought us in. And Jesus, you have been for us not just a Passover celebrator, but a Passover lamb. And through this, through your sacrifice, you have indeed blessed us. You have forgiven us. You have blessed our families through your gospel. Teach us about that. Jesus, preach to us about that through this, your word, and by your Spirit. We ask, Jesus, in your name. Amen. It's nice to be invited to something, isn't it? It was nice, you know, in elementary schools. I was at my three elementary schools this past week to think about kids that I knew. And at one point going along a road, I remember being invited to a party where Pete Fleckenstein, not a good last name there, Fleckenstein invited me to this party, and he had a pool, and that was pretty neat, fourth grade or something like that. I remember when I was first out of college and my first duty on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ was basically I was an accountant, and I don't know why they had me do that. I looked responsible, didn't have any accounting background, didn't know what a debit was when I took the job, and figured it was a debt with one letter added, and that was right. But I remember one of the first things I got to do was go with the National Director of Athletes in Action. We were with the athletic branch of Campus Crusade, which is Athletes in Action. We were there in the national office in Cincinnati, and I got to go with him. He had been the chaplain for the Bengals and Reds since 1972, and got to go with him and the Chief Financial Officer of Athletes in Action to an auction. We had a new office space and needed to buy some office furniture, and so Wendell, our boss, the head of Athletes in Action, took me and along, since I was the check writer, and that was pretty fun. As a little young guy, and I think we wrote checks there for about $21,000, and so that was pretty neat too, to be a part of that and all. But I felt like, you know, one of the gang, and I was there with these older guys that I respected and admired. Wendell had just As it was, he was about 4 years younger or 5 years younger than my mom at the same high school in London, Ohio. He still held some of the strength weightlifting records there from all those years back. He remembers my uncle training him to be a lifeguard. But I loved being included. I loved that they invited me here to this thing. And this auction, which was neat to see go on. This passage here is about invitations, and we read several passages in the Gospel of Matthew, too, that are about invitations. All three of those passages are about Jesus inviting people to the Gospel, giving that invitation to everybody. And here in this passage with Hezekiah, we see what's going on here. And just to alert us or to refresh us about what's going on here, Hezekiah was king just of Judah. And that was the southern kingdom of Israel. And Ephraim and Manasseh were to the north. They were part of the northern kingdom, the kingdom known as Israel. And so Hezekiah says, I don't want to just celebrate the Passover here in Jerusalem in southern Israel or Judah, just for the people of Judah. But I want to open up that invitation to everybody. Now, Israel had not been getting along well with Judah through the years. Israel had been decimated by the kings of Assyria who were coming in. Assyria was closer to Israel than it was to Judah. And so Israel had acted as a filter, basically, and protected Judah, not known to them or not their intent to protect Judah. But if you were coming from Assyria, you just got to Israel first. And so those are the people you fought. And so Israel had been decimated and people had been already exiled from Israel. And that's why Hezekiah, in his invitation to the people of the north, to the people in Israel, says, those of you who have survived the kings of Assyria, because those in the north had their relatives, members of their own immediate family, exiled. And some of their relatives were still, and friends were still in Assyria, in various places where the Assyrians had exported them to. And so this invitation of Hezekiah goes out to the people of the north, goes out to all people. And we see Jesus speaking in the same manner. He comes and is king in Hezekiah's shoes, son of David, as Hezekiah was, making this invitation to the gospel, this invitation to the Passover, to all people. And there's a 5-point sermon this morning, and you're getting the first point. So we'll hear more next week. When I was preparing this, I thought, boy, as I got it down on paper, I said 1 point's good. So we've got 1 point this morning. It's the first of 5 points, and this point is this. And if you're following along in the outline, if you'd like to fill out blanks, here you go. Invite people to the gospel. Invite people to the gospel because Jesus cares for them and for their families. And we should too. Hezekiah was doing something kind of strange here. The people in Judah and his officials were not really thinking about everyone, all the 12 tribes of Israel. They were just thinking about themselves, Judah. But Hezekiah, as a point, as a chief, a thing that stands out in his kingship, is his attempts and moderate success in reunifying all Israel. And so we see this term, all Israel, especially throughout Hezekiah's reign. And he speaks of all 12 tribes, not just Judah, where we are, the people over whom I reign. And in time Hezekiah reigned, there was no king in the north because the king had been exiled to Assyria. So Hezekiah is making good efforts to reunify God's people. And he makes this invitation out to everybody. But you can see by the way that this is worded and by what the thing to which he's inviting these people that Hezekiah cares. And that's your blank here. Next, King Hezekiah cares for Israel. So he reinstitutes the Passover. That's your blank, Passover. Passover was very important for God's people to celebrate. And it involved sacrifices, and those that celebrated the Passover would be blessed. And Hezekiah cares for not those who are just in his camp, so to speak, not those who were already dedicated to the temple, as we saw in chapter 29. Judah was on board. They were for the temple. They were given all this stuff for the consecration of the temple, for the rebuilding of the temple. The temple's doors had been closed for years and years prior to Hezekiah's kingship. And so Judah was already there, and that's the equivalent today of the church. Judah, those who are excited about the church, the temple of God, God's people. But Hezekiah the king is concerned beyond the church, beyond the faithful. And so he sends out messengers. And he, first of all, the first thing he does is reinstitutes the Passover. That was important for anyone who wanted to be blessed of God to celebrate the Passover. Because, and here's your next blank, in Passover, all people of faith in Israel, they escaped God's wrath through the sacrifice of a lamb. So this referred back to really the 10th plague in Egypt. And I may not have gotten the words there. It doesn't seem to be words right there in that blank. Let's see. Let me read that. In Passover, all of faith in Israel. Yeah, faith in Israel's God. That's how you read that. All of faith in Israel's God escaped God's wrath through the sacrifice of a lamb. Remember the 10th plague. Moses and all that, they're getting out of Egypt. God is rescuing his people. He's saving his people. He's delivering them from their slavery. And how he finally does it in the 10th plague is he releases his wrath against all Egypt by killing the firstborn sons in every household. God releases his wrath, his fury in Egypt. And the way God's people are saved from having their own firstborn sons, victims of God's wrath, which they, by the way, also deserved, was God institutes the Passover. Never been celebrated before. And God says, take a lamb, sacrifice it, take the blood of this lamb, and put the blood on the sides of your door frame and over the top of your door frame. And when I come to destroy in Egypt, when I see that blood covering the door of a house, all who are in that house will be saved. All who are in that house will be rescued. The firstborn sons in that house will not be put to death. And so there was salvation for anyone who had faith in this Passover lamb's blood. And so God's people were instructed not only to do this, but then each year in the first month, they have to do it here in the second month of the year, in the first month of the year, they were to celebrate this Passover, to celebrate how God saved them from their slavery. And so Hezekiah gets God's people together, and all who have faith in Israel's God escape God's wrath through the sacrifice of a lamb. That is Hezekiah, and here's your blank. He has compassion on his enemies. And we see in verse 1 and verse 5, verse 1, he wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh. Those were two northern tribes. And then in verse 5, they decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel from Beersheba. Now, Beersheba was the southernmost part of Judah, to Dan. And Dan was the northernmost part of northern Israel. So Hezekiah very intentionally invites everybody from the north, those who are not among the faithful, who have not been a part of the Jerusalem worship. But Hezekiah has compassion on them. But then also it says something else. Hezekiah has compassion on their families. That's your next blank. On their families. Well, look at this kind of almost an odd promise that is made of what God will do for those in northern Israel who have family members who are in exile. If these people who are in Israel come to the Passover and begin in faith to worship the God of Israel, what will God do for them? Verse 9. If you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. Hezekiah lets his northern brothers know, if you return to the Lord, if you believe, if you come to this Passover in faith, remembering that it's God who provides for you escape from his judgment and wrath, like he had done for our brothers in Egypt many years ago. If you have such faith, God will not only rescue you from his wrath, but he will rescue your brothers, your relatives, from their captivity by the Assyrian captors and by those who held them. So this was an invitation not only for the sake of those who lived in northern Israel, but Hezekiah is also showing compassion on those who have been exiled and are not even in northern Israel. And then lastly, next line for you in your outline, he, Hezekiah, recognizes that large or larger, you can put either there, that's your blank, large numbers worshiping God is good. Look at that last little line there on verse 5, the last sentence on verse 5. Hezekiah is expressing his concern. And he says, it has not been celebrated in large numbers according to what is written. In other words, is it a good thing that a large number of people give honor and glory to God for his rescue of his people from Egypt? Hezekiah says, yes. The more people who give honor and glory and thanks to God for his salvific work, the more people who do that, the better. The more then God is honored and glorified. And that's where Hezekiah's heart is. I want more and more people to honor and glorify our Savior God and King who reigns from heaven above. So, what does Hezekiah do? Thus the king sends, here's your blank, next line, he sends messengers. Verse 1 talks about that. He wrote letters inviting all. Verse 5, they decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel. And then in verse 6, at the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and from his officials. So the king has compassion. The son of David has compassion. And this compassion extends to the wanting them to be experiencing the blessings of God, and not only them, but their families to be affected by their faith in the Passover lamb's blood to cover their transgressions, to release them from their slavery. And the people in the north were in slavery, in their exile. So, the king cares for people, so he reinstitutes the Passover, and that's your next blank there. He reinstitutes the Passover. Okay. How does Jesus relate to this? It's in that line there. King Jesus also, like Hezekiah, as son of David, cares for his people. Jesus cares for people, so he reinstitutes the Passover. That's your blank if you didn't get it already. Just like Hezekiah comes and the Passover had not been celebrated for years and years, Jesus comes and he brings the reality toward which the Old Testament Passover celebration just merely looked forward to. The 10th plague in Egypt was just a prefiguring, a foreshadowing of the death of Jesus. So, Jesus comes, and as king, as son of David, he reinstitutes the Passover. But in doing that, here's what he has to do. He has to be the Passover lamb. That is, in your outline there, the Passover lamb was him. So Jesus as king has compassion on people. So much compassion that he doesn't, just like Hezekiah, order a lamb to be slaughtered. But he becomes that lamb, just like John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes upon himself the sin of the world upon himself." So, what does Jesus do? He leaves heaven, next line, leaves heaven for the cross. He says, okay, for people to be blessed, the Passover has to occur. I am son of David. He comes to this earth as son of David, born from the line of David, to go to the cross, to be slaughtered, as Isaiah speaks, a lamb led to the slaughter, a Passover lamb led to the slaughter. For Jesus realizes as king, next line, only through his sacrifice, as the Passover lamb, can anyone escape the wrath of God in the judgment that he or she deserves. Did the people in the north deserve the exile that they got? Yeah, they did. They hadn't been worshiping the Lord for hundreds of years. They were unfaithful to the Lord who offered his provision and protection, and they rebuffed the Lord's leadership and kingship over their lives. They rejected his choice for king in the son of David and took a different king unto themselves. Yet, the son of David has compassion on these people in Hezekiah. And Hezekiah represents for us the great, great compassion that Jesus, son of David, has on people like us who don't deserve such compassion. And he gives us, through faith in his blood, escape from the wrath of God and the judgment that we deserve. And Jesus does this because he has, here's your blank, compassion. He has compassion on whom? Well, we've talked about it, on his enemies. We read this morning in our call to worship, or in our declaration, the good news of Christ. Carl read for us Colossians 1, 21 and 22. And it tells us how God viewed us before our faith in Jesus. When we were the people in the north, disconnected from Jesus. Just like Hezekiah had enemies in the north, the Israelites had come down and had been enemies of himself and his father. Hezekiah turns with compassion to these enemies, and just the same, in Colossians 1, 21 and 22, it tells us that apart from Christ, before we had faith in Christ, we were enemies of God. Hostile in mind, rebellious in mind and heart toward God. Not wanting his rulership over us. Saying to him, in essence, who are you to tell me what to do? To prevent me from doing what I want? Enemies engaged in evil deeds. And this is why Jesus comes to earth. The Son of David on his throne in the heavenly Jerusalem comes and takes his throne by another route. And he spends his life on this earth inviting people to the Passover, just like Hezekiah. Inviting people, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. These could have been the words of Hezekiah. Come to me, come to Jerusalem, come to the Passover feast. All you who are weary and burdened, whose lands and houses have been burned down, who have relatives in other places, and you're burdened by this, your life is tough, come to me, celebrate the Passover. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Have me, the Son of David, be your king, and learn from me the law of God. This was the king's job, to teach the people the law of God. For I am gentle and humble in heart. I reach out to you in compassion, and you will find rest for your souls. And Jesus is King, Son of David, says these words, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus has compassion on people, but not just good people. Jesus has compassion on his enemies. We who were northern Israelites, he turns to us and offers to us, to all who will listen, to all who will come, not a heavy burden, not something that's going to destroy their lives, but something that's going to relieve their lives from the pain that they're in, with relatives in captivity, in land and home that is not blessed by the Lord above. So he makes this offer. And Jesus, Carl read for us in Matthew 9, looks out on the crowds and he looks and sees the people are lost like sheep without a shepherd. And it says that he has compassion on them. This is our King. Jesus does this because he has compassion on his enemies. Those are your two blanks if you don't have that already. He has compassion on his enemies. But not only that, he has compassion on his enemies' families. That's your next blank. And their families. Peter gives the first sermon post-Jesus' ascension to people. All over, they will come from all over, from every nation where Jews were, still scattered from the Assyrian scattering and exile. And they come back to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And he says, Peter, in proclaiming the gospel, and the gospel, this message, this promise is for you and for your children after you. For those who are near, and for those who are far off. And he's quoting and he's referring to this time where the Assyrian exile had scattered people all over the earth, the known earth to them. And Jesus says the gospel promise, the Passover feast, the blood of the Lamb is for all who will come. And this affects families, doesn't it? My family, it started with one, or with my sister. My sister was told the gospel by one of her friends, and she believed. And she turned to me a month or two later, and she shared the gospel message with me, and I came to believe. And then my dad came to believe, and my whole family believes in Jesus and is saved. We got to see the churches that I went to with unbelieving people. Under people, churches that don't believe in hell that I grew up in, and God saved us out of that, and God benefits. And many of you have come from families where one person believed, and then it eventually affected the whole family. And many of you are in families right now who are still in that stage of hope. I have believed, and I'm still waiting for that last family member to believe. And Hezekiah, son of David, promises, come to this Passover, and it will affect not only you, but your family. This promise is not just for you. This will have an effect not just on you, not just for blessing for you, but for your family as well. It is a strong presumption that we are to have that God will save our kids, and He'll save our spouses, and He'll save our family members to the right and to the left and above. Maybe the underlying motivation of all this, the underlying reason of all this, is what we have in the next line. That it's a good thing that larger number of peoples come to give glory and honor and thanks to God for His work of salvation, for His blood that He has spilled as Passover lamb. That is, and His goal, Jesus' goal, is that larger numbers will worship Him and His Father and the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing, that those created by God, that those sustained by God, give glory to God. And so Jesus, King of Kings, next line for you, sends messengers. That's your blank. King of Kings, Son of David, sends messengers to invite everyone. Everyone. That's your blank. To the Passover. What is the Passover? It's Him. It's inviting people to the gospel. Inviting people to take part in the blood over there. The blood of the Lamb. To have Jesus' blood cover